Hello, it's me again. Just briefly, I have just been sitting here drinking my tea and Connor's gone off to work and I was reflecting. I was doing a direct message to someone and I said something about it being the 2nd of January and then it hit me. It's 2 years ago today that we had the fire. It happened about 4:30 a.m. So this time, I think it's about 7 now. So this time 2 years ago, we were probably on our way to hospital in an ambulance, covered in soot. We were black from head to foot. It was a much colder morning. It wasn't really cold, but it was colder than it is now. It's mild out there now, and I think it's probably going to be overcast, and it's windy, and it wasn't windy that day. It was like nothing. It was just bleak. And the following week there was snow, but this week it wasn't as cold as it could be in January, but it's not as warm as now. I was just thinking, oh, what a nightmare it was, an absolute nightmare. When I think back to it, I can't believe that 2 years have gone, and so much has happened in those 2 years. And I know I said the other day I don't want to look back, but sometimes I do reflect on this because I'm so thankful that we got out, because it could have been such a different story. If we'd had no smoke alarms, we probably would have been dead. And that's a fact. Or no working smoke alarms. I'm sure, wouldn't be here to tell the tale, because Ronan heard a noise, which was the actual tumble dryer going. It didn't go bang, but whatever happened to it, it kind of exploded. Something in it ruptured the capacitor. And he thought it was someone breaking in because the electricity went off. And then he heard a noise. So he thought it was something. He was too scared to move. And then the smoke alarm went off. Now, imagine he heard the noise and he was too scared to move. So he waited and waited, thinking, oh, we'll see if they come upstairs or whatever. And then what would have come upstairs wouldn't have been a person. It would have been the carbon monoxide, because that's what comes up first, and not the smoke, because it's lighter. And that would have been our lot. We would have gone without knowing a thing about it, probably, like my poor little cat did. I do need to reflect on it sometimes, because no matter how difficult life can be sometimes, and believe me, it can be, well, at least we're here. It's better to have a difficult life than to have no life. Sometimes for me, life is a struggle because of my health issues, and it's not always much fun. And it's not always much fun for the rest of the family sometimes. I try and keep it to myself as much as possible, but sometimes I don't feel well. I mean, I've been a lot better the last few weeks, but I had a really bad patch. And not all that's to do with my kidney problems. Some of it was. Thankfully, I was okay in time for Christmas. But I do reflect on it sometimes, especially now it's the second anniversary of it. We are lucky to be here. We're lucky because the smoke alarm was working, or because it's, even though it's wired into the electrics, that didn't activate because the electric was cut off instantly. So the battery kicked in. But not only that, we're lucky that Ronan was awake, because his reaction was quicker then. Because when the first thing I heard was the smoke alarm. Well, I had heard the tumble dryer on, and I told him that I don't like it on in the night, and he said he wasn't going to bed, and he didn't. He was upstairs. So it could, I mean, things always seem worse at night, but it could just as easily happen in the day. I put my dishwasher on and sometimes I'm upstairs. You know, I'm not asleep, but I won't ever put it on and go to sleep. I never did that anyway. But I'm upstairs, so what, I mean, spot the difference really, except it's daylight and this wasn't night. Early hours. So, but the fact that he was awake meant that when I got to the door, I just put my shoes on, picked up my phones, I picked up my mobile and the cordless phone, although that was useless because the Apower was shot. But, you know, I got to the door and he was at my door saying, I think it's the tumble dryer. Mum, I think it's... His very words were, Mum, I think it's the tumble dryer. And I don't know how he must have felt, because he knew I'd already, about not much more than an hour before, I told him I didn't want it on. So he had his wits about him. But mind you, I did, you know, because that alarm, you can't help but have your wits about you. It's like, well, you're asleep and then, oh, I can't even click my fingers this morning. Hold on. That's pathetic. Anyway, it's like, you know, I was asleep and then whoosh, I was awake. And I did have all my wits about me. And I did take charge. I told people what to do. You know, I sent Connor to get the dog's leads and I helped them to get down the stairs because they were panicking because they couldn't see because of the smoke, because there was no lights. And I just went in front and just said, hold on to the wall and follow me. Ronan went back for Lammy because Lammy definitely didn't hear it. And I just thought I didn't realise how deaf he was then. In fact, I don't think then I knew he was deaf. That was afterwards. And, I mean, he can hear a little bit. He can hear when other dogs bark sometimes, but he's pretty much profoundly deaf. And I didn't know that then. And he didn't follow me. He stayed on the bed. And then I often think how awful it would have been. I mean, it was bad enough with the cat, who I love dearly, but Lammy is like my soulmate. He really is. I don't think I could have stood it. He's just made a noise. So Ronan went back for him and picked him up. And he gave him to me and I carried him down. There was no way I was letting go of him. He went, Mum, Lammy's still on the bed. He went and got him. And I carried him down and I sent Connor to get the dog's leads. I said, quick, just go quickly. And then they started faffing around. Ronan wanted to go and put a jumper on and I said, no, can he go back for a jumper? And then what about Dottie the cat? Should we go and look for a no? I said, no, no, no. Thankfully they listened to me because they don't always. And then I phoned 999 as we were leaving the building. But we didn't realise how bad it was till we got round the front and then Connor just said, oh my God, the whole kitchen's alight. And then those two started arguing. Of course, he said, you should have done what Mum said and all that. And it was, shut up, you beep, beep, beep. And I was going, no, not now, please, please, not now. And then I rung Obi and he thought what was mucking about. I didn't ring Obi till the fire brigade got there because I was on tenterhooks. I was so worried about Dottie because I knew time was ticking away and they seemed to take ages. I don't know how long they took. It probably wasn't that long. It just seemed it. I even rang them again and said, are you on your way? And at one point I heard a fire engine or something in the distance and I said, here it is. And it wasn't, unless they went the wrong way. And then the whole bloody circus turned up. They didn't all come at once, but there was two fire engines, two police cars, two ambulances. And then I phoned Obi when the fire brigade got here. And then we got cut off the first time. That was really frustrating. Then I said, we've had a fire. I said, don't worry, we're okay. First of all, he thought I was mucking about. I said, why on earth? I mean, they're an hour in front of us now because we put our clocks back and they don't. So it was 5:45 there. And I think he was up because he was going to work. I said to him, why on earth would I ring you at 4:45 in the morning, our time, and tell you that my house is on fire if it wasn't? It's not bloody April Fool's Day. And even then I wouldn't make up something like that. I mean, I've heard about these people recently, some people who pretend they've got cancer, they make up stories. And I think, how can anyone, I know this is going off on a tangent slightly, how can anyone do such a wicked thing? Firstly, surely they're tempting fate. And secondly, to get other people's sympathy and that. I think I've heard of several blind people doing this and I think it's an absolute outrage. I really do. I've never heard anything so ridiculous. And actually, it's wicked. It's so wicked, because it's like taking the piss out of those who have got it and getting the sympathy of people who will genuinely be disturbed or upset and feel for that those people. Why put other people through it? It's really one of the most awful things that you could do to somebody. You know, and they kind of just do it for attention, but they must be sick in the head. Anyone who does something like that must be, can't be quite the ticket, I'm sorry. I mean, I live with a life-threatening health condition. Okay, it's not that. But it is potentially life-threatening. There's no doubt about that. Without my dialysis, I wouldn't be here. Let's not put too fine a point on the fact. And why would anyone joke about that? I don't think it's funny. You want to try living with some, you know, any of you idiots out there, I don't think any of my followers have ever done anything like that. If you have, then I don't want to know who you are. But I have heard of several people. I don't know, about three people that have done it that I know of. I'm not in touch with any of them personally, but, you know, it's a really wicked thing to do. And, you know, you want to, you know, if you want to swap places with me, any of you, and go ahead and have to go through kidney transplant, dialysis and all the crap that goes with it, I'll willingly swap with you if you really want something. Because, you know, it's going free to a good home, believe me. Anyway, I don't know why he thought I was joking. And then I think he heard the fire engine. I said, can't you hear the fire appliances? Because they're so, when you're close up to them like that, they're so loud. They're deafening. And I was standing right next to one of them. And then smash, they smashed the kitchen window. And because I was just thinking I was going to be able to go back in. Till that point, when I had the window smashed, I thought, uh-oh. I'm not going to be able to go. And it hit me. I'm not going to be able to go. We're not going to be able to go back in. Where are we going to go? Anyway, it's 2 years ago now and it's gone. Gone but never forgotten. I'm not paranoid about fires any more than I've ever been. I've always been safety conscious about taking plugs. I don't take plugs out, but switching them off. The thing is, I could take them out. I could go around taking all the plugs out, but I don't really think it's necessary. Some people would say it is. I mean, if there was like a storm or a really bad thunderstorm with an electrical storm or something like that, I might do if it was really bad. But for general use, I don't do that because, you know, you leave the plugs lying around, you know, they could get water spilt on you or whatever. You know, you could knock a cup of tea over. So at the end of the day, you could end up causing more damage than just leaving it in and switched off. We are lucky in the UK that we do have the plugs that turn off at the wall. A lot of places don't have that. A lot of countries don't. A lot of countries in Europe don't have that. You know, when you go to Spain and Greece and places like that, I don't remember them having switches on the plugs. And I think in the US, I don't know. I know when I stayed with my ex-partner in California, he didn't have, you know, he doesn't have the switches either. So I think in Nigeria they do, believe it or not, because they're very UK. A lot of their construction and stuff is very much UK based. I think they mostly, I'm not saying they all do, but most of them have switches on, from what I can remember. So I am always very safety conscious about that. I'm not paranoid. To be honest, although it was a hell of a drama and an extreme trauma, it hasn't had the after effect on me that being burgled did. I know we weren't even there when we were burgled. This was a long time ago. It was when I was expecting Connor. And we were burgled when we were away. And I don't think I've ever talked about this, so I'm not going to go into too much detail now because I don't want to go on too long. I might talk about it another time. But we were burgled, and actually that did have more an effect on me than the fire, in a way, a long-term effect. It took me years to get over it. I couldn't sleep upstairs on my own. if my husband, ex-husband went away, I think I was all right if I was there with the kids, but if I was completely on my own, I would have to sleep downstairs, because my theory was that if anyone got in, I would hear them straight away. What I hated the thought of was being upstairs, and that didn't happen because we weren't even there, but the thought of someone getting in and me not knowing, that had a long-term effect on me. It actually affected my sleeping for a while. No, I didn't not get to sleep, but the slightest movement would wake me up. And we had another very scary experience when Rona was a baby, so it was like 5 years later, and that affected me. I think I just got over it. I just got over the burglary, because it was a horrible feeling to think that someone had been through all your personal stuff. It's really horrible. And I kind of just got over it. And then when Ronan was a baby, it was Guy Fawkes Night, 1997. He was about 3 months old. And we went to bed, and we were, I don't know what time of night, I don't know whether we woke up in the night, I can't remember now, but we thought we heard someone walking around downstairs, and we heard like rustling, like someone putting stuff in a bag. And we were so scared. That's one of the times I don't think I've ever been so scared. I put Ronan in bed with me. And then my ex-husband, who is also totally blind, said he was going to go downstairs. And I was so scared. I said, no, don't. But he went, and he crept ever so slowly. It must have taken him ages to get to the top of the stairs and go down. He went silently. I didn't hear him. But whether the lights were on, we didn't know. So I went into the next room because I was so scared, and I wanted to be with the kids. I wanted me and the kids to be together. So I woke Connor up. Connor was about five. He was just five. So I woke him up and I said, come on, get in bed with me. I didn't say anything about what it was because I didn't want to scare him. I just said, come and get in bed with me. And he come and got in bed with me and Ronan, and he fell back to sleep. And it seemed like forever, and nothing happened, and it was just silence. And my heart was, I don't know how I didn't have a flippity heart attack or something. My heart was in my mouth, and I was rigid with fear. And then I heard someone coming, and they didn't say anything, and they came round the side of the bed, It was my husband, and he said he didn't think there was anything down there. He'd been and checked all the doors. It didn't look like anyone had been in there. Oh, and that was the other thing. We went to ring the police, and the phone was off the hook, I think we did just about have a mobile phone then, but I've got a feeling he had it, and I don't know where it was. Maybe he'd left it at work or it was dead. It wasn't the mobile phone culture that we've got today in the UK. So the phone, that's what really did it. The phone was off the hook. And so when he came up, he said he didn't think there was anything. He checked all the windows and the doors, and nothing had been forced and everything was locked. So he didn't think there was anyone down there. And then I think we both went down there, and I put all the lights on and I looked around because I wanted reassurance myself. And then we eventually got back to sleep. And then in the morning when we came downstairs, it was the bloody dogs. His dog had the bin out. That was what all the movement and the rustling was. And my dog, I remembered afterwards, she was absolutely petrified of fireworks. So I remembered that when we'd been out, I didn't take Ronan because he's only a baby, of course. But I'd taken Connor with my sister and all her kids to... They used to have a bonfire and firework display at the school, and a local fair used to come at the same time and be there for a couple of days. So we'd been out, and obviously my husband had stayed home with the dog. I didn't take the dog, but my dog. So he'd stayed home with the dogs and Ronan. And I'd walked down with Connor, met up with my sister, and we'd gone round the fair, and they used to have the canteen open. You can go and buy hot dogs and all that, and we'd gone to the firework display, and I think the council used to... pay for that, and had the bonfire, and it was lovely. They used to do it every year, and they stopped it, which was a shame. But anyway, I'd come back home, and Ronan was breastfeeding. I mean, he breastfed till he was over a year old. So, by the time we got back, it was probably quite late, really. It was probably about 10 o'clock. So I sat down in the armchair to breastfeed him, And of course, the dog was blooming petrified still of the fireworks. And she tried to jump up on my lap because that's what she used to do. Of course, he was on my lap, so I pushed her down because I had no choice. There was no room for her to get behind me. When I used to sit on the sofa, she'd get up on the sofa, and I don't allow... I mean, I know I let Lammy on the furniture because he's a poodle and he doesn't molt, but I don't allow my guide dogs on the furniture. I never have done that. I mean, I used to let my dogs on my bed when I was a teenager, but my guide dog, but I've never done it since. I don't allow them up on the bed or furniture. And so I did let her up on the settee when she was really frightened of the fireworks because it was the only way that I could... I used to let her get behind me or the side of me, and then I used to just totally ignore her because otherwise I made her worse. So that way she was kind of... You know, it was the best I could do for her, just to let her sit next to me like that. But on the chair, there wasn't room, so I'd pushed her down, not roughly, but just pushed her down. And I remember she somehow got her foot caught in the phone, which was on the shelf, like on the ledge next to me, and she'd pulled it on the floor. And I, because I was breastfeeding Ronan, I didn't pick it up. You know what it's like when you can't see? You do everything pretty much by memory, so if you don't remember that it's there... I didn't remember that it was on the floor afterwards, and I was tired, and I just took him up to bed and went to bed. So, of course, when I came in the morning, I found it on the floor, and then I remembered, oh, the dog jumped up, and she knocked it off the side, I remembered. And the other dog got the bloody bin out. That was Thomas, who I put the story about on here recently. But that shook me up, because... Although nothing happened and no one got in, and we were quite sure of that, we were 100% sure that no one had broken in, nothing was missing, nothing was disturbed, none of the windows were tampered with, none of the locks, we had much stronger doors by then. That affected me because it was almost like it had happened. It was like, because I went through it, you know, I went through that fear, absolute terror, we both did. And there was me shaking. I was shaking from head to foot with the kids in the bed. And I went through it like it happened, although it didn't. And I was much relieved to find the causes of it in the morning. But even so, it was a long time. That was the final straw because it just started everything back off again. And it was a long time after that. That bit, a long time again before I would sleep upstairs on my own. A very long time. I just wouldn't, if they'd all gone away, there was a few times when, I don't know, there might have been a family wedding down in Sussex with the in-laws and there was, they didn't want the dogs there, or they had to stay with someone who couldn't have the dogs or whatever. So a couple of times I stayed at home with the dogs because it was his family, not mine. And I would sleep downstairs because I couldn't hack it. Anyway, I got over it. I mean, I got over it eventually. I am very careful about locking up and stuff, though, but I'm not paranoid. But I was paranoid about it for a while, for a long time, after those two incidents, the real one and the false one. And more paranoid than I am about the fire, which is surprising, really. I think it's because the fire was an accident, but I'm not saying it could have been avoided, because the bloke that came from the insurance company to do the forensic examination to see what caused it before they'd pay out, he said that it could have happened any time. It can happen on new appliances even. It just happens sometimes. That was an older machine, but so it couldn't have been avoided. It would have happened at some point because it was going to happen. It might not, you know, if it hadn't have happened then, it might have happened the next week or whatever in the day. But you can take precautions to avoid things like that. Okay, you can have fires that aren't caused by anything you do. You know, there might be an electrical fault in the loft where the rats have chewed through the wires or something like that. But those kind of things are more rare. It's usually a cause like a candle getting knocked over, a cigarette, or some electrical appliance going wrong. But a burglary is so random because, you know, you could have one but that doesn't mean to say that you're not going to have another one. I think that's what my thinking was at the time. We might get targeted again, because people do. And because, you know, if they know you're both blind and whatever. And I think that's why I worried about it, because there wasn't really anything I could do to stop it. Anyway, I think I've rambled on long enough, so I'm going to upload this now. And I'll speak to you all soon. Bye for now.